This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I want to tell you guys that tomorrow I will be out at Kauffman Stadium. I also will be out there on Thursday as well. So if you want to stop by, you want to say hello, a lot of other people will be there. We're working on Eric Hosmer coming by tomorrow at some time. HUD will be out there. Vern will be there. Ryan LaFever will be out there. It'll be a real who's who of Royals legends and Royals important people that will be out there tomorrow. So if you plan on going to the game tomorrow, if you were lucky enough to get tickets or plan on buying some in the next 24 hours, I would highly encourage you to stop by and come say hello. I will be there. Rob will be there. Hopefully you will be there. Vern is going to be on the show coming up in 10 minutes. I do want to give you guys some balance in the 5 o'clock hour, a little Royals, a little Chiefs, a little fun along the way. I would like to say this before we kind of dive deeper into the Royals with Josh Vernier. I want to give you guys a stat because I think it is fair to say, Robin, you have been here. This show has been the math show when it comes to the Royals. You can feel however you want to feel, but the numbers are the numbers. Numbers, for the most part, don't lie. Did you know that they have been doing these five-game ALDS series since 1995? Now, that's a pretty good length of time. It's a pretty good sample size. You know we love sample size on this show. Did you know that teams in the Royals' favor, so the road team that went 1-1 in the first two games and now they are coming back home for games 3 and game 4, they have won 66% of these series. So teams in the Royals' position have lost, of course. The Royals broke home field for the Yankees and now have the advantage. A very simple way of putting this is it is now a 3-game series between the Royals and the Yankees, and the Royals have 2 home games to the Yankees, 1. They also have Seth Lugo going in game 3, and if necessary, they will have Cole Reagans either pitch game 1 of the ALCS, which could be at Kauffman Stadium, or game 5 at Yankee Stadium to determine who is going to the ALCS. So I don't want to scare you. I don't want to freak you out. But I think the Royals have the advantage. I think the Royals have the clear pitching advantage tomorrow. It is not close to me that the Royals have the pitching advantage. They also now have home field advantage. I understand that game 5 is the most important game to have at home. Maybe you don't get a game 5 at home. We know you get a guaranteed 2 home games, and the Yankees lost one of those home games and got outplayed yesterday. The Royals, I think, currently have the advantage in this series. I'm taking the Royals tomorrow to win the game. If you're going to tell me that you're going to give me the home team and they're going to be the slight underdog, I think the money is on the Royals for tomorrow. At least I think that's the right side to be on this. I got a lot of respect for the Yankees. I think they are a very good team. But I'm looking and I don't really think there's that big of a discrepancy between these two teams. One thing that I think we all do, and I do this more than anybody, it's kind of the job, is you play these games out on paper. I mean, so far in the in the, I guess, elite eight of baseball, all of these series are tied at 1-1. No one has the advantage right now. The Yankees don't have the advantage. The Dodgers don't have the advantage. The Phillies don't have the advantage. No team in Major League Baseball has an advantage right now. So you got to try to figure out advantages where you can get them. And if you are playing a three-game series and two of the games remaining are at your house and not the other team's house, and you are going to have the starting pitching in two of the possible three remaining games, sounds like you kind of got a slight edge over your opponent. So again, I don't want to get out on my skis. You can only take it one game at a time, and things can turn in a heartbeat. But I think if you are a Royals fan, you have to love the position that you are in. If it is tied 1-1, the team that is going home for game three and game four, they win 66% of these series, and you have the pitching advantage and home field advantage tomorrow, and that place is going to be rocking. If you were fortunate enough to be able to go out there in 14 and 15 and you know what postseason baseball is like because you've seen it up close and you've experienced it, you know that tomorrow is going to be an incredible environment. And the Yankees are walking into the middle of that. And I actually feel bad for one of their individuals. We'll talk to Josh Vernier about that coming up in a bit. And I do promise you we'll get to the Chiefs here coming up in a bit. But why would Jazz Chisholm, why would he stir up a hornet's nest? Royals fans were not bothering you. They're worried about Aaron Judge. They're worried about Juan Soto. They're worried about Stanton. They're worried about Alex Verdugo. They're worried about Gerrit Cole. There's 10 other Royals players you would mention before you mentioned Jazz Chisholm. And now you put yourself on the radar. You put yourself in the fan crosshairs. It doesn't make any sense.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
That's just, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, and I can acknowledge that, but you know that there is no group of people that make mountains out of molehills more than a team's fan base. You said they got lucky. No one was making a Jazz Chisholm sign today. No one had that in their things to do list until you said this and opened your mouth. You were not going to get booed. You weren't going to get cheered. You were just going to be able to go up there. And now you've already walked into an oven. It's already going to be hot. And now you've turned it up to 475 degrees on yourself for no reason. You said right things for the first 15 seconds, and then you undid all of it in the last 2 seconds. It just doesn't make any sense, man. It is perplexing to me. I am flabbergasted that a player would do this seemingly for no reason. J.J. Piccolo thinks that tomorrow is going to be an incredible environment. I tend to agree.
Well, I think it's great. We went to Atlanta. There's a great atmosphere there. Baltimore is a great atmosphere. You come here, it's a great atmosphere. So we've played with, you know, as the opposition in these tough places to play. Now you go home and the momentum just swings towards you. But all of the guys that have come through our system, they've seen all the highlights. A lot of, you know, our baseball 101 classes or plays we've picked out of the playoff runs we were in 14 and 15. So they've seen the hype and the emotion and the stadium turn blue. So they have not lived it, but I think they're looking forward to seeing it because they've heard all about it.
I don't think that teams need a lot of bulletin board material at this time of the year. If you can't get fired up for playoff baseball, then what are we doing here? You know who takes bulletin board material and runs with it? A fan base. A fan base runs with it. I just saw the same thing happen to Missouri over the weekend where their fans were just, Brady Cook said something, it got misinterpreted, and the fans were on them for basically start to finish. Why would you do this to yourself? I like it. It's great for my profession. I love when athletes say something. I just don't know why. Jazz Chisholm, I don't know if you got the game to back things up coming into Kauffman Stadium. You had none of the heat on you, none of the pressure. Now you turned it up on yourself. It's nonsensical is what it is. All right, we will make Vern hit number two. But Rob, let's get a little bit of Chiefs in here for hit number one.
It's 5 o'clock and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
Rob, really quickly, I just can't imagine, like, man, you're in a good mood, you know? Your Royals won. Your Chiefs won. You come home and you're looking forward to a good meal. And the wife says, babe, I got some tuna casserole cooking. You got to turn right back around and you got to go get something to eat, man.
Speaking of the hits, Carrington, they're brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Carrington, last night it wasn't just the Royals. The Chiefs got a win at Arrowhead over the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, and they were led by two guys who didn't even go to St. Joe. Juju Smith-Schuster and Kareem Hunt led the way for KC.
You know what I really loved yesterday about the Chiefs win? Was the Chiefs took their situation and they got the most out of everybody that touched the football yesterday. Absolutely every person that touched the ball, they had a defined role in the offense yesterday and they got the most out of it. Whether it was Juju Smith-Schuster, whether it was Kareem Hunt, whether it was Noah Gray who had almost 40 yards, whether it was Travis Kelce who played his best game of the year, whether it was Mecole Hardman who had not been in this offense basically for the first four games of the season, he had almost 40 yards yesterday. The Chiefs took the strength that they do have in their offense and they highlighted those yesterday, and I think they had their best offensive game of the season. There are problems with this offense in the red zone. They have they have other offensive problems. This team yesterday really locked into what they are with the personnel that they have. They didn't shy away from running the football and being the more physical team, and they got the ball in space to the limited playmakers than they have, and they were rewarded yesterday. I don't know if there's any other team in the National Football League that would be 5-0 right now with left tackle issues, running back issues, wide receiver issues, and their tight end got off to an incredibly slow start in the first three games of the season. The only team that would do that is a team here in Kansas City, is the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get to hit number two.
Number two.
Hit number two is pretty straightforward, Carrington. The Royals won game two of the ALDS in New York last night from Cole Reagan, Salvador Perez. A lot of the stars were stars. We are joined now by Royals 96.5 The Fan insider Josh Vernier to break down all the happenings and get you ready for game three tomorrow at the K.
Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm with you on Jazz Chisholm, a lifetime 1-for-11 against Seth Lugo. So it's not even as if he knew he was about to feast on the upcoming starting pitcher. Even that dude has his number.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Now, I understand, right? Like, bulletin board material, all of this stuff. If you're Jazz Chisholm, you could have walked through the plaza and no one had said anything to you. No one was going to cheer for you when you came up to bat. No one was going to boo you when you came up to bat. And now you have put all the heat on you. Like, you're not a good enough player to talk this way. Shohei can talk like this. I know Aaron Judge is struggling. He can do this. Jazz Chisholm, why would you make yourself a villain? There was no need to.
He was doing so well. He was doing so well up until the word lucky. If he could just replace that word with almost any word, I think we're all able to digest everything that he was saying to, you know, fire his clubhouse up and exude confidence. And no, we're not worried, even though, as you mentioned, the Royals are now in complete control of this series.
All right, Vern, how would you kind of sum up the first two games of this series? The Yankees, they win game one. The Royals win game two. It felt like both teams had opportunities to maybe be up 2-0 in this series, but it's tied at 1-1 right now. How would you sum up the first two games?
Boy, both teams should feel confident. That's how I would summarize it. If I'm a Royals fan, yeah, I split in New York with nothing from Bobby, nothing from Vinny. Waka didn't see the fifth inning, nor did Cole Reagan's. And we took a game in New York and easily could feel as if we could have won both. No, if I'm a Royals fan, like I mentioned, I would feel like I'm in complete control, not only of this series, but in complete control of my October fate. But the way that this Royals bullpen is performing, I look around the rest of Major League Baseball, maybe I'm impressed with what I'm seeing out of San Diego. But outside of that, like Michael Garcia said on social media last night, I'm not afraid of nobody. That's how Royals fans should feel coming home from New York. And on the flip side, the Yankees, if I'm a Yankees fan, you know, game one, yeah, it's a one-run victory, but it easily could have been more, as we discussed yesterday, if Giancarlo Stanton could run. That game could have been a blowout. Game one, the Yankees executed better defensively, executed better on the base paths. They earned that game one victory. And yesterday, they had opportunities, right? Runners on in the first. Yeah, traffic throughout against Cole Reagans in that game. And, well, you know, you could lay blame at the umpire. You could say, well, Aaron Judge isn't going to miss that many opportunities again. And I would tend to believe that. So again, my takeaway from the first two games is both teams should feel confident with, you know, Royals know that they have Lugo and Reagans going in this best of three series. And New York, all they need is one, and they know they have their ace on the hill coming up Thursday night with Gerrit Cole. So both teams should feel good.
Vern, it feels to me right now, and maybe this is simplifying it to like a basketball or football way, but it seems like whichever team can get their superstar going, whether it's Aaron Judge or whether it's Bobby Witt Jr., it feels like that's the team that's going to win. Like right now, I don't know if you can consider either team to be the favorite. Like I can give you reasons why the Royals should be the favorite. I can give you reason why the Yankees should be the favorite in this series, but it feels like the difference could be what version of the Royals are they going to get from Bobby Witt Jr.? And same question for the Yankees with Aaron Judge.
Yeah, well, just look at the first two games. It's Royals 9, Yankees 8. Certainly one big swing from Bobby Witt Jr., one big swing from Aaron Judge, of course, would change everything. Because, you know, Juan Soto's, for the most part, given that Yankees ball club, pretty good at bats pretty consistently. Austin Wells, their cleanup hitter's been giving the team pretty good bats pretty consistently. So, yeah, if Aaron Judge breaks out of his postseason funk in this recent skid that he's in, that could be the reason why the Yankees take both games at Kauffman Stadium and there's no need for a game five. Now, on the flip side, yeah, Bobby and Vinny, right? I'd put Vinny in there as well, as both of them go 0-for yesterday with three punchouts. You know, listening to Salvi earlier this afternoon, he even acknowledged that maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much. Maybe they're expanding the zone a touch bit too much. And, you know, I thought Bobby did that in one of his plate appearances last night. Vinny maybe did it a little bit more. Vinny also just got his, undressed by Carlos Rodon in the first inning, as basically everybody that Rodon faced in the first inning got the work. But, yeah. Bobby, Aaron Judge, of course, they have all-world talent where they could put the entire American League postseason on their back. They could lead the Royals to the World Series, to the Yankees, to the World Series. But I will say this. Bobby's still getting it done in a big way defensively, a pair of big inning-ending double plays. Aaron Judge made a great play on Bobby back in Game 1 defensively. So, although their offensive numbers are leaving a lot to be desired, they're still making an impact on the game. Bobby more so than Judge.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Verner. He is going to be on the show every day as long as the Royals are still alive in the playoffs. Vern, I do want to talk maybe more game-specific stuff tomorrow and just kind of look more big-picture stuff today. I want to kind of talk about J.J. Piccolo and what he's been able to do. I mean, there were two separate times over the course of the last couple of months where the Royals kind of went after something and they got exactly what they needed. Around the deadline, it was clear that the Royals were looking to improve their bullpen. You went out, you got your closer at that time. You got Michael Lorenzen at that time. And a couple of weeks ago, whenever Vinny had his injury, the Royals went out there and picked up Tommy Pham. They also picked up Gurriel and they also got Grossman. JJ's ability to make four or five moves over the course of the season, and now you're seeing three or four of those guys help this team and possibly advance to the next round of the postseason. That's a real testament to J.J. Piccolo and his staff and their ability to adjust on the fly.
CDOT, they've overhauled the bullpen twice in a year. Right, the bullpen on opening day was completely different than the bullpen that ended 2023, and the bullpen that we watched yesterday in New York is a almost completely different bullpen than the one that we saw on opening day at Kauffman Stadium. So no doubt about it, but it's also a reflection of a competitive organization, an aggressive ownership group. I was asked earlier today about the similarities between this run and the run back in 14 and 15. And, you know, what's different and why things might feel different. To me, that comes back to the aggressiveness of John Sherman, right? The championship in 2015, the Glass family spent money, right? They were top half of Major League Baseball in 15, 16, and 2017. They no doubt, they spend money. But it was gradual, right? You saw these guys come up and debut in 11, then they grew in 12, then they started to win in 13, and then they did 15, and then they won it all in 15. This team went from 106 losses, ownership threw $110 million at those losses, turned them into winners, and kept throwing money at them, right? Kept bringing in contracts, team-controlled contracts in Hunter Harvey and Lucas Zersag, but also bringing on just additional cash, right? And Tommy Pham and the guys that you mentioned, Gurriel and Robbie Grossman. So I think it's a complete organizational overhaul in how they're going to attack things. I mean, there were so many opportunities, multiple opportunities this season for this team to sit back and say, we've done enough, right? From 106 losses, we have the city excited. We're in the race in August. That's good enough. We don't need to continue to put our foot on the accelerator. And they did. And it's commendable. And it's going to be rewarded, certainly, coming up tomorrow night.
Isn't it crazy to think that the Royals are currently, they have a three-game series against the Yankees. They have the home game in two of the three possible remaining games. And in those two games, they are going to pitch two all-star pitchers. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to say that the Royals are the favorite, and I know that's not what Vegas thinks. And I'm looking at a postseason right now that doesn't have a traditional favorite. There isn't that team that we all expect to make it. But I'm looking at the way that the next couple of days could kind of line up. And, you know, if you wanted a chance to kind of see if the Royals could make this October something to remember and something special, it sounds like what is potentially in front of them. I mean, this team has Seth Lugo going tomorrow in a game in which they clearly have the pitching advantage.
Yeah, and you're not afraid of Gerrit Cole in Game 4 after what you saw from him back on Saturday. So the possibility of having, as you mentioned, open up the hour, Cole Reagan's Game 1 of the ALCS at Kauffman Stadium. I mean, that the fact that that's even a possibility here on the 8th of October is... no one asked for this. Right, I mean, C-Dot, you read the text line every single day, and people were excited in April, excited in May. Maybe there were some that came along in June that were like, all right, this team better not blow it. Oh, it better not be old school Royals where they screw it up in the second half. And I never saw anyone say, we better have a home game in the ALCS. I'm expecting to be in the mix for the ALCS. I just can't imagine that this team's realistic possibilities for this team, the fate that they still control. I mean, no one dreamt it. It wasn't in anyone's wildest dreams for this team to arrive to be in the situation that you just described, a best of three home field advantage, the pitching advantage. And the best player on the field are all wearing Royals uniforms. It's amazing.
So tomorrow we got Clark Schmidt going up against Seth Lugo. Neither team has announced their starters for Thursday. Who do you think it's going to be for the Royals?
Yeah, I would say Waka and Gerrit Cole.
Okay.
Coming up on Thursday. And then if there is a Game 5, it would be Cole Reagans against Carlos Rodon. Now, a possibility, something that the Royals could do, they wouldn't announce it until after the game, is, and I don't know if... it would really be all that necessary, would it be necessary? Look at Michael Wacha's numbers again against Aaron Judge. My point was going to be Brady Singer's a guy that is in the bullpen but has never really thrived out of the bullpen. Would it be the craziest idea to let Brady Singer serve as the opener in Game 4? He pitches an inning or two, and then you turn it over to Michael Wacha, who's done everything in the game. And then you ask Wacha to only face Judge and Soto once, maybe twice. But instead of them getting another dose of Michael Wacha right out of the gate a week later, they get their first taste of Brady Singer in quite a while.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Vern will be in studio, live on location with us tomorrow as we are doing the next 2 days out at Kauffman Stadium. Vern, great stuff, man. Looking forward to talking Royals baseball with you on the day of another Royals home playoff game, man. It's been a long time.
It sure has, buddy. I'll see you out there.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Verner, joining us on the show. His appearances on The Drive are brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, Royals fans. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, as right now they are 5-0. There are only two undefeated teams left in the NFL, and you are a fan of one of them. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I want to share something with you that, honestly, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but this is a show that no one is above criticism. We criticize Andy Reid. We criticize Patrick Mahomes. We criticize Brett Veach. That's how sports talk radio is supposed to work. If you are like me and you grew up as a kid in the 90s, you love Bob Costas. You really do. You love Bob Costas. He is the voice of the Olympics. He is the voice of the NBA Finals. He is the voice of NBA on NBC. I got nothing but love and respect for Bob Costas. I think that Bob Costas is one of the greatest to ever do this job. It has been rough. It has been bad this postseason with Bob Costas.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit, couldn't beat it out at the other end, turns into a double play.
Oh, boy. He also, earlier in the game, said that the Yankees pitcher had no-hit stuff. He gave up a hit that at bat. He did not have no-hit stuff, not even a little bit yesterday. Like, not at all yesterday. Bob, how be it me, just local radio host, to tell you this. It might be time, brother. It really might be time. I tell you guys all the time, life's about knowing your limitations. I don't know if I want Bob Costas on any more baseball games. He makes me want to go to the baseball game tomorrow so I don't have to hear the play-by-play. He's not good. Ron Darling, also not good on these games. Maybe I'm the only one that feels this way. 913-586-7965. Maybe you guys love what we got going on right now. I do not. I'm telling you, I miss Joe Buck. Joe Buck, please come back. They got you on Monday Night Football. These are regular season games. We can't get you back for the postseason. I'm ready to trade Bob Costas right now. I can't do it. I loved Bob Costas in the 90s like everybody else loved him in the 90s. We got to leave it where it was, man. I used to watch the American Music Awards, too. I don't watch anymore. There's a lot of things I used to love in the 90s, but we moved on. We evolved. We elevated. Bob Costas might be one of those things we might got to leave back in 1995, man.
We might have to leave him back talking about Michael Jordan wearing the 4-5 and Nick Anderson missing those free throws in the NBA Finals. We got to leave Bob Costas back there. I can't be the only person that feels this way. Rob, where are you at with Bob Costas? I can't believe how much I don't like the broadcasting in this series. I cannot believe it.
It's so bad. And I echo what Jacob Milham of Kings of Kauffman, he's on the show earlier, you can catch on the podcast page, what he said earlier. When I saw that the Royals had gotten the Costas Darling booth, I thought, that's kind of cool.
I was excited. Yeah, like, me too.
Like Ron Darling, like he did, like he does like the big games on TBS. This is not like some, like no offense to Jeff Francoeur and Brian Anderson. They're on the other TBS broadcast. I thought to myself, oh, because of the Yankees mostly, the Royals got Costas and Darling, but that still doesn't matter. They got the A crew. And then after Saturday night, I remember thinking to myself, it might not be the A crew.
Yeah.
It might not.
So, no, you want to know what got me is I was out of town, so I didn't hear the broadcasting for Saturday. I was watching it at the sports book. So, you know, they might have the audio up from the football game. So I didn't hear the broadcasting for game one. But game two, I got the Chiefs on the bottom TV. I got the Royals on the top. I'm flipping back and forth. When the Chiefs game went to halftime, I put the Royals on the bottom TV. So that's what I'm hearing. I'm like, it's been like this whole time? Like, it was like this on Saturday, and you guys kept listening to it. It's like that. I don't know if I can do it. We maybe got 2-3 more games of this. No, I'm out. Yeah, y'all can have it. I can't do it.
I actually think exactly what you said about the nostalgia is why I gave Costas the Saturday night benefit of the doubt. He must have had a late flight in. He was tired.
Yeah, he was making mad excuses.
You know what? No one thought this would be a game, so he didn't have the juices flowing. I love Bob Costas. So after Saturday, I was like, I'll make excuses for Bob Costas in my head. And then it was well before the Bobby Witt double play last night. It was like the third, maybe the fourth inning. Judge comes to bat for his second at bat, and he's telling this story about how Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball, blah, blah, blah. Aaron Judge hits by every account a can of corn. Hunter Renfro didn't move. It's just a fly ball, but because of that Mickey Mouse ballpark, it goes the warning track. But even fans weren't really standing. And Bob Costas, for the first time in 13 innings of calling the game, shows a little juice. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with Bob. And then somehow from that moment on, it got worse.
No, it absolutely got worse. Can I talk about something that's been bad too, but just bad for a very different reason? Have you seen what the Chiefs defense has been doing to some of these star players in the National Football League? I mean, it's been absolute padlock what they have been doing to some of these teams. Let me give you some of the numbers of what they've been doing to teams. Derrick Henry had 13 carries for 46 yards. Bijan Robinson had 16 carries for 31 yards. Alvin Kamara, 11 carries, 26 yards. If you add up the starting running backs that the Chiefs have gone up against, and we're talking about good backs, Henry, Bijan Robinson, J.K. Dobbins, Alvin Kamara. We're talking about guys that are Pro Bowl caliber players. I think that Derrick Henry is going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Those running backs have 66 carries for 169 yards. They're averaging 2.6 yards per carry. They have taken Hall of Fame running backs and turned them into Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's what they've done. That's what this defense has done. They're not just doing it to running backs. Rob, they've been doing it to wide receivers too. They did it to Chris Olave yesterday, who had 10 yards. They did it to Ja'Marr Chase, who had less than 45 yards receiving. They did this to Drake London. They did this to Quentin Johnston. They did this to Zay Flowers. If you are a productive offensive player, I'm telling you right now, you are not going to have a good day against this defense. And you should be fading any player going up against the Chiefs defense in fantasy. You got to find somebody else. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Alvin Kamara. I don't care who it is. You cannot take that player. He's not viable for you. Alvin Kamara is probably one of the top 10 fantasy players. He never got into a rhythm. He never got into a flow. The Saints' offense never got into a flow yesterday. They had one big play. They had a pass play down the middle of the field to Shaheed. It was a great route, great ball, great play, touchdown. That was it. They couldn't run the football effectively. They couldn't get anybody going offensively. They had no chance of winning that game. At no point did the Saints have a chance of winning that game. The Chiefs dominated that game from start to finish. And they played, that's as well as the Chiefs have played since their game against the Miami Dolphins in the wild card round. Now, they've won since then, obviously, but I'm just talking about complete offense, defense. They dominated the New Orleans Saints yesterday. It was really, really impressive to watch for a team that the Saints are not bad. The Saints are what I told you guys yesterday. They're the NFL. The Saints can beat any team in the National Football League. They also can lose to any team in the National Football League. And we also just found out that Derek Carr could potentially miss the next couple of weeks. So that was a team that had a chance to win their division. And now you got to make it work with the backup quarterback, and we'll see if you can make it work in a division that's pretty competitive with Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So we'll see what happens with the New Orleans Saints season. But yesterday, that game was never in doubt. I mean, from start to finish, the Chiefs, they were just in complete control. On offense, they got their key players going. They couldn't stop Kareem Hunt. They couldn't stop Travis Kelce. They couldn't stop Juju Smith-Schuster. They couldn't stop Mecole Hardman on the quick screen game. And they couldn't get any of their offensive players going. I know what the score says, and it doesn't look like the Saints got blown out. If you watched the game yesterday, you know what I'm saying is fact. The Saints got dominated yesterday from start to finish. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Before the show is done for the day, The Drive tells you what we're watching.
How does she expect you to watch TV? Am I just supposed to turn it on and wander aimlessly around the dial?
All right, let me give you what I have been watching. I am watching Mr. McMahon on Netflix. It's been kind of hard to find the time with college football and the baseball playoffs, but that is what I have going on for me. I have not started a couple other shows. Sometimes I hate telling you guys when I haven't started a show because then you guys will spoil it for me. I also am really excited about The Floor, and I do need to watch the most recent episode of Law & Order SVU. You know my show is packing. You know I love Law & Order SVU. All right, let's get back to baseball here. I think whichever team can get their guy going, whether it's Bobby Witt Jr. or whether it's Aaron Judge, that is going to be the difference in this series. Bobby Witt Jr., he ain't been good. He does not have a hit yet in this series. Aaron Judge, he has also not been that good in this series. J.J. Piccolo was on the midday show. He does not think that Bobby Witt is pressing.
I don't think there's pressing. I think they're just pitching him really well. They made some really good pitches. You know, there's a little bit of chase, but when you got Clay Holmes pitching and he's got that split or whatever he calls it with the late movement, they're tough to lay off of. You know, Bobby won well, but I don't think he's pressing. The good thing is guys around him are doing their job, and it's nice to know that we're going to win games in the playoffs if Bobby does have an offer, because it's going to happen. Bobby will bounce back. I know he'll be really happy when we get back to Kansas City. Actually, they all are really excited about getting back home. It's been a long road trip, but you know they know there's going to be a big crowd. There's going to be a lot of emotion. It's going to be very comfortable, and I would be very surprised if Bobby doesn't bounce back and have a solid game tomorrow.
I know we haven't spent too much time talking about this, and I get it. It's in the middle of it. Bobby Witt Jr. decided to come back for the opportunity to play in Wednesday's game, right? That's why he came back. That's why you signed the contract that you signed. That's why you make the commitment to the organization, is that you have a vision of Wednesday. We're going to make the postseason. We are going up against the most storied franchise in baseball history, and people are looking at me to turn things around and be the reason why we advance in this series. I think tomorrow is going to be a really, really special environment out there. I really do. I think tomorrow is going to be one of those sporting events that you remember, that you talk about, that you wish you had the ticket stub for. If you remember what it was like to go to postseason games in 14 and 15 and how it is different than postseason environments in any other sport, I think tomorrow is going to be one of those games. He mentions how happy the Royals are to come back home. Rob, do you know the last home game that the Royals had? It was the 22nd of September. Think about that. Think about how long ago it was. They went from the 22nd of September, and they don't have another home game until October 9th. It's been 2 weeks since they've been home.
Wasn't that the series where they got cooked by the Giants?
That was their last home games. Because they had the games. They had the games against Washington, Atlanta. They went to Baltimore, and then they went to New York. I mean, this has been a long road trip. So tomorrow, it is going to be a man. I haven't seen my kids. I haven't seen my wife. I haven't seen my girl. I haven't been home. I haven't slept in my own bed. I've been staying at hotels for the last 2 weeks. I bet they are happy to come home. I bet they are excited, especially when you come home and you're going to be playing in the biggest baseball game that basically anybody on this team not named Salvador Perez has played in. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow, man. It really is. It's going to be a very, very special environment.
Do you think it's going to rival 14-15 vibes? Because I would have told you before the Baltimore series, there was no vibe in town about this team. And I don't think it's 14-15 level, but I'm curious what the energy is out there. Because I could see with it being the Yankees, Jazz Chisholm's conversations, the fact that you were now 1-1. I could see it having that nostalgia, fun, oh man, the K is rocking 100%, feel.
100%. 100%. Phillies, like, they are in trouble. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like the Phillies are on the brink, is what it looks like. The Mets have the bases loaded with no outs, and he is out of there. Yeah, no, they have made a pitching change. You can see that one coming a mile away from the Phillies. It is 2-0. The Mets have the bases loaded with no outs right now, and the Phillies are going to make a pitching change. We'll see who comes into the game, but the Phillies look like they are in a little bit of trouble. I think what's so different about the Chiefs run versus the Royals run is just the fact that it's every day. Like, I kind of forgot how dramatic the baseball playoffs are when you're in the middle of it. You know, they play on Saturday, then they play on Monday, and now they come back home, and now they play on Wednesday, and then they play on Thursday, and the momentum just kind of builds on itself. Whatever the environment is for Wednesday, and I think Wednesday is going to be rocking. Let Seth Lugo throw some zeros. They win game three, and now they got a chance to eliminate the Yankees in game four at home. Friday will be one of the best sporting events that this city has seen, and they've seen AFC championship games. It will rival that feeling, that atmosphere, if they got a chance to eliminate the Yankees in game four. Because I think everyone will kind of feel the same way. We cannot let this series get back to Yankee Stadium. Obviously, you got a chance with Cole Reagans, but I think the feeling will then be, we're not letting this series get to a chance. We're going to take care of business in game four of the ALDS. I'm excited about tomorrow. I will be out live at Kauffman Stadium. We're going to have Eric Hosmer come by. Vern's going to be by. Rex Hudler's going to be by. If you got a chance to go to the game tomorrow, be sure to stop by. We are right outside the first base ticket gate. All right? I'm out of here. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Enjoy your night off. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.